Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
If that line forms on the right bay.
McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. Man, those weekends go by fast. And we're back. We're back. It's Monday. Let's go. You know the deal. I got you for 3 hours to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. Alex on the other side, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. And we got a lot of baseball to recap. It's two premier series this weekend. What was billed as maybe the World Series preview. And then, of course, the Mets in Philadelphia out in London. And we'll get to the Mets, but we got to start with the New York Yankees. And we have to start with a man who continues to just defy logic as we are watching. And honestly, the atmosphere was incredible for this entire series. Like, it felt like it, obviously, the thousands of Dodger fans that was there, right? We saw the video of them being, you know, police escorted to Yankee Stadium as there's thousands of them, and the atmosphere was legit. I mean, double plays are getting some of the loudest pops, to steal a wrestling term, some of the loudest crowd reactions we've seen all year. Like, it was just, you could tell there was, like, just a great playoff-type atmosphere around this series as, you know, clearly the Yankees are still, despite losing the series and losing the first two games in the series and then avoiding the sweep last night, are still one of, if not the best, in my mind, still, obviously, the best team in the American League now that Soto's not gone forever. And the Dodgers, who, you know, put forth a lineup and a team. I mean, you're watching Yamamoto and Glasnow pitch. You got that top of the order. You know, some of the, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, who, you know, just freaking killed the Yankees all week, you know, hitting towards the back, you know, the middle of the back end of the lineup. I mean, the Dodgers, despite not having the record that Philadelphia has, I mean, clearly one of the best teams in baseball. The Yankees, clearly one of the best teams in baseball. And the atmosphere that was created, I think, speaks a lot to what I said on Friday, which I still stand behind. Despite the idea they lost two games. Oh my, I think we were going to go crazy. The Yankees lost two games, and so clearly, I mean, clearly, it goes to show you that they're just, oh, they're putrid without Juan Soto. I mean, how did that, they're just awful without Juan Soto. And clearly, I mean, if it wasn't for Juan Soto, they would hardly win a game, except the fact they have the best player on the planet, still healthy, still playing. And that's Aaron Judge. And it's just, it's remarkable to watch what he is doing right now, what he did in this series, what he's done in the last month. He was awful in April. He's already got a batting average above 300. He leads Major League Baseball in home runs. He leads Major League Baseball in OPS. And what we're watching right now, and really, I mean, as we'll talk about the team clearly. Because, listen, as much as I'll tell you, I still think they're the best team in the American League, and as much as I will tell you that you can't glean so much and take so much away from two games or three games the series, if the Yankees figured out a way to win the first game that went to extra innings, if the Dodgers made an error in extra innings, if somehow a wild pitch or somehow the Yankees pull that one out, are they okay without Juan Soto? The idea that, you know, and this team was shut out five times this year without Juan Soto. Five times. I mean, excuse me, with Juan Soto. With Juan Soto in the lineup, they were still shut out five times. We look at it and we, obviously he's important. Obviously his addition has changed so many different things. And the idea of him and Judge in the middle of the lineup are what give us the expectations of being a dominant team like they've been this year. And someone who can, you know, really go out there and be the favorite to win the World Series. But there are issues with this team. But like I've said it before, and I'll say it again, if you watch these games and your takeaway is, well, look at the offense and how the team played without Juan Soto and how important Juan Soto is, that's certainly a way to look at it. And he's clearly very important. But as you watch these games and you watch this team, the other takeaway is, my God, the man who carries this team, the most important figure on this team, the best player in all of baseball, and someone who, without question, is the most important player, as we saw in the post-game comments, is the leader of the team and is the captain. Aaron Judge is at a point right now where he is the best. You have to go back to Bonds in the early 2000s to find a better baseball player than what you're seeing right now. He obviously drives in the one run in the Friday night game. He hits two home runs on Saturday and hits an absolute bomb to give them a much-needed insurance run in this game as well. Plus the three hits. I mean, he is just an out-and-out beast. And then I love what he says in the postgame. I love, because we all know in the sixth inning, Trent Grisham comes up, who's batting in the middle of the lineup, and I'm sure Boone won't get any credit for it. We'll get to that later. But Trent Grisham comes up with a couple of guys on, and the entire crowd is chanting to pinch hit for Soto. The entire crowd is chanting for Juan Soto, and understandably so. Understandably so. Now, I don't think that's the time for it. He's certainly not going to play the field. The sixth inning, as they said on the broadcast, and I completely agree with the broadcast, you can't pitch him there and pinch hit him there in the sixth inning. You're going to have another opportunity later in the game, and you're going to be down a man. You don't have an out. Like, he can't play the outfield. If you take away your center fielder, you can't do that in the sixth inning. But the crowd's chanting for it, and then obviously Trent Grisham comes through with the big home run. And not only does Judge win the game for them, not only did you see one of the great players at the peak of his game, you know, just have an incredible series and then ultimately win this game for you, but in the post game, he talks about and defends his guy, Trent Grisham, and his team's guy, and someone who, listen, like, they need him. Because whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, he's their fourth outfielder, and as little as he's played, and that's pretty much why he's been so unproductive, he's going to be an important piece. Because guess what? People go down, they need days. He's got to be someone who's ready to play and an important part of this team. And so what does Judge do? Judge tells everyone, I wasn't happy with it. I didn't like the crowd. And now the crowd responded by chanting for Grisham the next time up. But Judge, not only does he lead the team, not only does he, you know, understand exactly what to say, exactly what to do, he has the clout now to be able to speak directly to you. And I wouldn't say he took on the fans necessarily there, but he made it clear to let you know, like, enough. Soto's going to be fine. He's coming back. We need Trent Grisham. He's been a good ball player for us. He's important to us. And he came through and made a statement. And then for him to go out and mention it, because it's easy to just go, yeah, listen, that's the fans. I didn't like it too much. And to play the way he played and to do what he's doing right now at a level he's doing it, plus be the leader of this team. I'm sorry. I know how important Juan Soto is. And I know he's the difference that we've seen Judge before. And yes, he struggled in the postseason. And we've seen Judge go through a season. We've seen Judge be a Yankee. We've seen Judge have these dominant seasons. And then ultimately, the season ends the same way it's ended the last couple of years. And even 2022, when he had that monster year, the offense kind of faded down the stretch. And we look at Juan Soto as the difference maker, as the difference between what's happened before and the promise of what could happen, the line where it's like, well, what's different? One of these things is not like the other. And the difference is, well, Juan Soto's in the lineup. But that doesn't change the fact of what you're watching from Judge. As Judge go, the Yankees go. Because like I quipped in the beginning part of this open here, we don't remember, like no one seems to remember, when you go back to the beginning part of the season when Judge was struggling, Juan Soto could not carry them. And I'm not expecting him to. I'm just saying they were shut out five times with Juan Soto in the span of, what, 2.5 weeks? They did not become the team that the Yankee fans have gotten behind. They did not become the team that jumped out to a four-game lead on Baltimore, down to 2.5, by the way. They did not become the team that won every single night. They did not become the force in the American League until Judge started to play his game. And if you look at last year, if you look at 22, this is the guy who carries the team. Aaron Judge is the force of the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge is the straw that stirs the drink. Aaron Judge is their best player. And whatever happens, I still feel this way, whatever happens, Aaron Judge is the guy they can't lose. Aaron Judge is the guy they need to carry him. Now, if they want to be the best team in the American League, hands down, of course, they need Juan Soto. And hopefully he's going to be back for the entirety of this upcoming Kansas City series. And you saw the other things that they, I mean, if you look at the rest of the series, they still pitch well. Luis Gil gives up 2 runs, but he still looks like a dominant force. He was getting swings and misses, throwing his fastball 98, getting the good changeup. Teoscar Hernandez is just killing everybody. I mean, even Cody Petit, the bullpen's been a little bit shaky, but the pitching ultimately, besides Saturday, has been, you still trust the starting pitching. And the lineup, while there are issues, and Rizzo is going to be an issue, there is no doubt. Like, looking forward at this team, the one thing that I will say, looking at this lineup, and I know we'll get to Gleyber Torres and the boneheaded mistakes that continue to pop up, and I still will tell you they can't afford to lose him because they need the offense at that position. I don't see how they get it. But now you are looking at a Anthony Rizzo who has been awful in June, and now the manager has admitted that there can be some kind of plan for Rizzo, and whether or not he's going to be sat down for the next 2 days, whether or not there's a game plan moving forward, the New York Yankees are going to look, come the trade deadline, to improve their corner infield position. There is no doubt about it. Because as much as Anthony Rizzo might be a leader, and as much as Anthony Rizzo is obviously very tight with Aaron Judge, and as much as he can help overall with, you know, the ability to help a pitcher out on the mound, I mean, defensively, he's been bad this year, but I would still trust him over DJ LeMahieu, who isn't necessarily that experienced at first base. Ultimately, when it comes down to shaping this team, and that's where the season will be, that's where the rest of the crux of this season will be built, and the team will be built come the trade deadline. And come trade deadline, they are going to have to bolster maybe the bullpen, right? But ultimately, it felt like, yeah, I could look at first base. Yeah, I could look at third base. We'll see. As we're getting along here, I think we're going to realize that that is no longer something they can just, if they want to win the World Series, if they want to be this dominant team and give themselves the best chance to go win a World Series, if you don't want to stop at, hey, we're pretty good, you're going to have to go out there, and it won't take much because there are corner infielders everywhere. They are going to look to improve the corner infield. But for me, the story of this series is the environment, is the idea that it's a World Series matchup, the idea that we saw some of the greatest players in the world, including the best player on the team, and the team that makes it, the player that makes it all work. And I do not leave this series, I do not head in, you know, leave those first two games thinking, oh boy, boy, without Juan Soto, what are they? I don't. It's two games. They've lost games before. They won 8 in a row leading into it. They lost those two games. They're still 8-2 in their last 10. It's the Dodgers. They're a good team. Yamamoto's a hell of a pitcher. They just beat Glass now without Soto. They managed to get nine hits and six runs against one of the best starting pitchers in baseball and a Dodger team that's limited teams to more than any other team in baseball, limited teams to less than five runs in a game. The story is what Judge is doing right now. And when you add Soto to it, and you have the length of this lineup, and you're getting DJ LeMahieu, just, you know, his at-bats don't look that bad. I don't view this the same as I view Rizzo. A lot of people kind of lumping the two of them in, like as they're old, they're washed, you have to get rid of them. And while he's nowhere near the player that I told you, if I saw good things, could possibly move to the leadoff spot, because I do like the dynamic of Volpe in the back end of the bullpen, but he's no longer, you know, in that option right now. But his at-bats don't look so bad. I want to give him a little bit of time here. He's just getting his feeding. He's just getting his footing here in the series, you know, with the team. He hasn't played. You know, it's going to take some time. His bats don't look too terrible. He got a couple hits in the other game. Like, he's starting to come around. I want to give him a little bit of time. I don't view him and Rizzo, who's done, you know, he's got three hits in all of the last month, in the same vein right now. But what I do know is that Aaron Judge is the best baseball player in the world. Aaron Judge is the best hitter that we possibly have seen since Barry Bonds. And this is a guy right now who, yes, Juan Soto makes it special, but as long as the Yankees have Aaron Judge, they will be a team to reckon with. There is no doubt about it. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So we start with the Yankees. Aaron Judge, what this series means to you. Do you view it as, oh, they have problems without Juan Soto? Or do you view it as I do, where Judge is turning into the, he's getting better, which is remarkable. The guy hit 62 home runs, had one of the great seasons he's ever seen. I don't remember a stretch during that season, as crazy as that sounds. I don't remember a stretch of Judge's Yankee career where he's been as good as he is right now. He's getting better. And he's already got his average up over 300. He leads Major League Baseball in home runs. He leads Major League Baseball in OPS. He's second in RBIs. He is a dominant force. And thankfully, Soto is not hurt. We're going to see him back in the lineup at some point in this Kansas City series. Hopefully, it's the entire series. But even if it's not, he's coming back. Everything's fine. That we finally got, you know, that Friday as I was leaving the midday show, I got that. We got that news on my way home that it's just information and we're waiting for Juan Soto. But I don't look at this series as, oh, the Yankees have real flaws without Soto. I look at this series as they lost two games. But Aaron Judge, this pitching, and this team overall is still what I think they are. The best team in the American League. Juan Soto coming back. The atmosphere was incredible, and Judge is becoming the best hitter in a Yankee uniform in a very long time.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ha 226, McGonagall here with you. So yes, the Yankees get an important win. That was about, you know, to salvage a sweep, one game in the series and avoid getting swept. It's a huge difference on how you'd feel moving forward, right? Because there's been this narrative around beating good teams, right? They lost the one series against Baltimore, and while they've dominated really ever since and had a solid record before that series, there's that, you know, well, especially they lost the first two games, God forbid, against Seattle, and that was where it started. And, you know, they've beaten up on all these bad teams. Sure, you could beat the rest of you could beat the Twins. I mean, never mind the fact they're, you know, 6-7 games over 500, but whatever. You can beat all these teams, but when it comes down to the good teams, when it comes to the real good pitching, the Yankees have struggled. And if they would have gotten swept and Luis Gil would have maybe got beaten up or something, like, this was a game they needed to win just to settle things. Now, would the season have been lost? No, they'd still be in first place had they lost last night. But they did need to stand up and just put a good performance against the Dodger team that came in playing well. They lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh, but came in and played well, should I say. They pitched very well. Yamamoto, I thought, looked great. You know, that was, and that's funny too, heading into that Friday night, we were waiting to see Yamamoto. He's having a decent season, a very good season. I mean, ERA under 3, but he's had his moments, I guess, should I say, especially early on in the year. But he's finding himself, and he came in, and I thought, I mean, I understand no Soto, and that's what we'll lean back on. The offense stinks without Juan Soto. I know. But, like, he was throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. He had incredible movement on his splitter. Like, he just looked dominant. And Cody Petit went out there and matched him, which was amazing. I mean, Petit's done an excellent job. But they just couldn't get anything going against Yamamoto in that Dodger bullpen in game one. Game two, blowout. So you lost the tight one, you lost the blowout one, and that's, you don't want to get swept against the Dodgers. So they step up, and their captain, their leader, Trent Grisham, comes through with a huge home run. Which was, I don't know how anybody else felt. And we'll get into Boone and whether or not he's going to get any credit for last night. I'm just wondering. We'll see if Boone gets any credit from last night from the fans as we get through. But an important victory. Judge is an absolute beast. And, you know, I said he's becoming, and when I say the best player since Bonds, what I really mean is, like, you can't pitch to him. Like, you can't pitch to Judge right now. And I'm sure there are times where it's felt like that before with him or even other players. But, I mean, this guy is an absolute, I mean, he's just incredible. And he's on a stretch right now where I don't know if I've ever seen anybody better. And I already got a tweet about Mike Trout. Now, Mike Trout is the best player, you know, the generation now, unfortunately, it's kind of like in a weird spot with Mike Trout to say the generation because Judge has been here, but, and it's a long career, you know, 2000, his rookie year was 2012. He played 40 games in 11, but his rookie season was 2012. And he's been one of the best players of this generation. And clearly a couple years ago, he was the all out best player in this generation. And he's had years where his OPS were 1.07, 1.08, 1.083. You know, he's had 100 RBIs a couple of times. I mean, we all know how great Mike Trout is. And I know he plays on the West Coast and we don't see it. Judge right now is better. Right now. Maybe not over the course of the year. His career, who knows, if he ever gets a rejuvenated career and stays healthy. He's a great center fielder too. But honestly, as great as he is, as great as Harper is, I don't want to say anything bad about Harper. I don't need his father calling back in from New Haven. As great as these other players are, I don't think they've ever been as dangerous. I'm sorry. I don't think they've ever been as dangerous as Aaron Judge is right now. I mean, this is on an epic level. It's just an epic level. I mean, what he did in this series and what he's doing right now, he takes inside fastballs and hits them opposite field to right center for home runs. If you throw him a hanging slider like you did last night, he hits it into the second deck in left field. Like, he gets base hits going the other way. He can, I mean, and then plus the defense he provides, he can play center field. I mean, you're watching. I mean, that's the pleasure. And you know what? Of all the things we miss from Juan Soto, let's be honest, in my opinion, yes. Once you found out he wasn't severely hurt, and I could have dealt with, and I thought for sure an IL stint was coming. And I still don't think they're out of the woods with that. It sounds like he's fine and he's going to play, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, he might wake up tomorrow and still feel it and they just want to shut it down for a week. I don't know. It's not severe. There's no injury really there, but we want to make sure he's comfortable. So whatever the case may be, the worst thing about not having him with the team, especially with the Yankees with this lead, the record they've jumped out to, and still the team that they have, which for me is still pretty damn good. It's just watching the two of them hit back to back. It's the presence that he brings to the lineup. It's the fun of watching his at bats because this lineup with him becomes different. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not poo-pooing that by saying that, you know, Judge is better or that, you know, they could still win without Soto on some level. Because we all know what he brings, and that's really what I miss the most. I would have loved the moments of him in this series. And you would think they didn't score any runs Friday night, Chris. Obviously it would make a difference. Again, they got shut out five times with him. It happens. Yamamoto was excellent. But it's the moments. It's the extra added element he would have brought to the roll call and being out there in right field. And the big at-bats against Yamamoto, the big at-bats against Glasnow last night. Like, that's what he's changed them into must-see TV. Because a lot of the stuff with the Yankee fans and what you've heard so much is that they're boring. Not only are they losing, Chris, but they're boring. Which I always found funny because there's no such thing as exciting losing. If you're going to lose, it's pretty boring. Like, I know the offense sometimes when it goes quiet, it seems more boring, but trust me, you're not going to come away from, they're losing all these games 10-9 and go, "Well, at least they're exciting." But I mean, he's changed the feel and even the crowd in this series. Like, I don't know if there's this atmosphere, if not for what Juan Soto has changed the Yankees into. He had an impact in this series without ever playing a single pitch and taking a single at-bat or playing an inning in the field. He obviously had an impact in the fans are chanting for him. I do think he's created some sort of real hype around this team that feels different. But I still think when you watch this team, Judge is the guy that's going to carry this team forward. There's no doubt about it. They're only going to go as far. Soto is a great player. And he's done stuff in the postseason. Obviously, he was excellent in the 19 World Series and that playoff run. He's someone I would trust in big at-bats because of his style of hitting and the way he knows the strike zone and the way he goes about it. And we'll see how important he is. Obviously, hopefully he's healthy in the postseason, but still, the figure that carries this team, the guy who can put them on their back for a month like nobody else can, is Aaron Judge. And watching these games and watching what he's done and watching him again last night just be there every single at-bat, it's almost a shock when he makes out. But having said that, there are still issues. And again, on Saturday, you know, the Gleyber Torres thing is going to continue to pop up. I know it's a conversation. I know every Yankee fan wants to get rid of him, and I understand why. And I agree. I've been saying it for a while. I've been saying for a while that as much as I like Gleyber, there's something about him that it's hard to call him a winning player. It just is. It's hard to look at Gleyber Torres and say there's a winning player. Whether it's the mental gaffes on the base path, whether it's the laissez-faire way he drops a pop-up the other night, whether it's the a ground ball that, I don't know if it would have been a double play, but could have been a double play and certainly would have changed the dynamic of that inning that led to all those runs. Like, we've seen all of it. It's hard to look at Gleyber Torres and the way he plays the game and call him a winning player. And I hate to say that, and I don't say it casually because it's a damning statement. It's tough to look at him and say there's a winning player. But having said that, again, I don't know what this team needs. I don't know what he provides by trading him. Like, do you think you get a excellent reliever for him? Because it's a tough trade, like, to move a Gleyber Torres for someone to help you in the short term. Because Gleyber Torres is a free agent. I mean, so the only person looking to trade, the only team looking to trade for a Gleyber Torres would be another team looking to contend who needs something at second base. Because why would the Marlins, for example, I know they've been linked to Gleyber over the last handful of years, but that's when he's had control. Why would a dead Marlins team right now trade for Gleyber Torres when he's going to hit free agency? The only one who would be interested is a team that's looking to add a player for a stretch run where they're light at second base. So now you got to find a team that has a plethora or a dearth or an extra position player or an extra pitcher that would fit the New York Yankees and make some sort of swap. It's a very difficult thing to make because other teams, you don't like to pay, you know, you don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. Like the Yankees. It's just, it's very difficult to find a matchup for him. So, yeah, I mean, if you get an excellent eighth inning guy, could I see it? Like, if you get a really top-notch reliever under control, does it make sense? Okay, but we just say trade Gleyber Torres. He's having a terrible season and he's an impending free agent. Who are you sending him to? It's a limited number of teams. So you'd have to prove to me the Yankees are getting significantly better at a place of weakness. And then you look at DJ LeMahieu, who I think is still, you know, it's too early to call him washed or he'll, you know, not have a great year or he's get him off the team or whatever your concerns are. I feel like I'm not there yet, but at the same time, I don't feel that positive about him. Who's the second baseman? You're going to bring up Peraza? Who plays second base? Are you okay with having no offense at second base? Because I'll say it again. What just happened last night without Juan Soto? Well, not last night, 2 nights ago. What's happened, right? That's what the fans want to talk about. What's happened every single postseason that the New York Yankees have failed in over the last handful of years? They don't hit. They don't score runs. So unless you are giving up or getting back a extremely talented and useful player at a place of weakness for the New York Yankees, I don't see the benefit of trading Gleyber Torres right now. Everyone wants to jettison him because he dropped a pop-up. I mean, I get it. And ultimately, I don't think there's a chance in hell he is here next year. I think Gleyber Torres is gone. I mean, you look at this team right now, it is amazing because we think it's one of the best teams in baseball, and yet you can point to so many changes coming up. So many. Like, if they sign Soto, assume they sign Soto for half a second. Think of how many people are gone. Just to justify and figure out a way for Hal to spend the money. Now, I know you might not agree that that's what he's going to do, but what is he going to do? So if they sign Juan Soto to the contract, it takes to sign Juan Soto. You can forget Gleyber Torres. You can forget Verdugo. Obviously, just on merit alone, you can forget Rizzo. You could probably forget Clay Holmes. Like, so much of this team, and that's why this is such an important year and why they need to go out and attack the trade deadline this year. Like I just said, well, you need, like, normally, could you live with Rizzo at first base, considering the, you know, the attitude he brings, the veteran nature that he brings, you know, a championship pedigree, having, you know, broken a 100-year streak with the Cubs? his leadership, his friendship with Judge, all of that, his still, you know, relatively defensive first base. But this has to be the year. So Brian Cashman has to go out there and bolster the team in the areas that are glaring. First base and third base are areas where they can easily improve. And there's a lot of players that will provide at least pop or average or something. Like, you can find an infielder, a corner infielder, who gives you something, which where right now Rizzo gives you nothing. And it's hard to justify anything other than LeMahieu at first and Cabrera at third is the best team the Yankees can field. Right now, the Yankees' best team does not have Rizzo in it. That's how bad he's been. And it's amazing to me to think he was playing like an all-star. I mean, last year, leading into May, he was playing like an all-star. I remember talking to a guy at the kickoff the summer party last year. Not this previous one, but last 2023. And we were talking about the team and how good it is and how good Anthony Rizzo's been. Like, I remember having the conversation. Anthony Rizzo was playing great baseball at this time last year, or, you know, a few weeks ago. And then he has the collision with Tatis, and he has fallen off a cliff. And it explains away a lot of last year, and maybe it has something to do with this year, but he had a good spring training. Like, it's very difficult to understand exactly what's happened to Anthony Rizzo. But there is no doubt, watching the team, as you saw Cabrera hit one off the pole, the best team right now for the New York Yankees is LeMahieu at first and Oswaldo Cabrera at third base. So as they, you know, look to improve this team and put it over the top, because like I said, when you look at it, who knows what this team next year brings, even with Juan Soto. They're going to have to find replacements. They're going to have to play young kids. We're waiting on Dominguez. I don't know if Dominguez, and that's another talking point we'll get to after the break here, 888-808-1019. We'll talk about Jason Dominguez, who continues to kill it in AAA. I don't know what's going to happen this year with Dominguez, but he is going to be a big part of the team next year. They're going to have, you know, there are guys like Ben Rice inside the organization who have been moved to AAA, who's catcher, first baseman. He's going to have to be a part of this thing. Peraza's probably going to have to be a part of this thing. Like, they are going to rely on a lot of young kids or, you know, veterans making a little less money than stars. If you're going to pay Judge, which clearly, you know, you are and will, if you're going to give Soto $500 to $600 million, if you're going to continue to pay Cole and Rodon, like, if you're going to keep all those stars, Stanton is still obviously making a ton of money. The only way to do that is to go cheap almost everywhere else. So don't worry, all you Gleyber Torres haters. He's gone. Don't worry, all you Anthony Rizzo, you know, haters and need him off the team. He's gone. But I can't move on from Gleyber Torres just yet because I don't see how moving him improves the Yankees. You make a case for me. You show me how that trade works. You show me how Brian Cashman can move Gleyber Torres and bring in someone who helps. I'm open to it. But it's a very difficult thing to do at a deadline with an impending free agent. Usually you trade those guys for prospects. That's how it works. When you have a veteran guy about to hit free agency that you don't think you can pay, you trade him away and get prospects. And I don't want to trade Gleyber Torres for prospects in a must-win year. Can't do it. I do not think it's so bad that it's addition by subtraction. I don't.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
So, yeah, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Now, you could hit me up on, you can obviously call the show, 888-808-1019. That's the new number, 888-808-1019. You could also hit me up on Twitter or X. And the Gleyber conversations got me a couple tweets. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Because, like, I don't understand how people feel this way. And this isn't to get on people, but Patrick tweets me. If he's being serious here, I'm assuming, I don't know if he's being sarcastic, I don't think he is, but a stud bullpen arm. Do you think we could trade with Oakland for Seth Brown and Mason Miller with some of the names you mentioned, Rizzo and Gleyber? Why on earth? Like, you got to just put yourself in the other team's shoes. Oakland doesn't spend money on anybody. Anybody. Why on earth would they trade one of the sensations of this season in their closer, Miller, who throws 103 miles an hour, who's got years of control? Why would they trade him for a half a season of Gleyber Torres? Like, it just, think about it for a second. Oh, and then we'll throw in Rizzo. We'll throw in Rizzo, who is a fading all-star, who's got an OPS of, what, 600? Who looks like he can't hit anymore? But yeah, him. Oh, and he's also a free agent, by the way. So for half a year For half a year of Torres and Rizzo, who are the Yankees' biggest problems, we will get back two of the best players on Oakland, because Oakland really needs aging stars they have to pay next year. I mean, that's exactly what they want. They want to bring in guys who they have to pay next year. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. If you want Miller, it's going to cost you Spencer Jones, not Gleyber Torres. It just, I'm sorry. Like, it does, that's the whole point. That's why it doesn't make sense. My guy Al, trade Torres for a bullpen arm. Or, I don't know, or something, I guess. But he can't be, I don't know what SMTH means. I guess that's something, short for something. I don't know. Why wouldn't, it's like two letters. Just write something. I mean, it's really not saving you that much time. Trey Torres for a bullpen arm or something. But he can't be on this team. He stinks. I understand that. I don't know what level bullpen arm you get. Now, look, and here's the other thing about bullpen arms, okay? As we talk about, for example, I should have saved the tweet. I just had it. Hold on, let's see if I can find it. Yeah, it's probably gone. But you want to talk about bullpen arms? You want to talk about why I trust this Yankee team? How about Tonkin? The guy was designated for assignment by two different teams. He came into the Yankees with a 6 ERA. And despite, you know, blowing a game against Milwaukee in his first appearance, the guy has an ERA under one for the New York Yankees. An ERA under one. They can find a lot of arms. They got rid of Santana. They brought back up Marinaccio, who pitched well for them at times last year. He's having a good year in the minor leagues. See if he can help. This Yankee team and this Yankee, you know, pitching crew led by Blake, the pitching coach, has been remarkable at finding relievers anywhere. I don't want to. I mean, unless I'm getting a stud. If you're going to tell me I'm getting an average middle reliever or something for Gleyber Torres, I'll find one somewhere else for cheaper than Gleyber Torres. I don't think that helps me enough. Like, if I'm getting the Millers of the world, like the previous text tweet suggested, if I'm getting a closer-type pitcher, if I'm getting a good back end of the bullpen reliever, like a solid, really good one, all right, I'm open to it, I suppose. But how does Gleyber Torres get me that? You guys just want to trade away the Yankees' crap and get back like good stuff for it. Like, yeah, that's a nice thought. I wish they were true. I wish they could trade away Gleyber Torres, who's having a miserable season, who's got to get paid next year, or at least is under, you know, free agency next year. And you want to give him away to a team that, what, is willing to trade away a good reliever? Why would they do that? Because, the only teams willing to trade for Gleyber Torres would be teams looking for help to contend for a playoff spot. It's going to be another contender who needs help at second base, whose second baseman went down, or second baseman sucks, or whatever. They could use Gleyber Torres to help win. So if they're going to trade for Gleyber looking for help to win, why would they trade away a top reliever? It just doesn't make any sense. It's very. I'm having a tough time coming up or envisioning a trade with Gleyber Torres that makes the Yankees better. If there is one and I'm wrong, I'm open to it. I just find it very hard to believe that they can. He's in a position where he's not inducive to being traded. He's the other way. If the Yankees were selling, you sell Gleyber Torres for prospects. That's how it works. You pick up other teams' Gleyber Torres. You don't trade yours when you're looking to chase a pennant. It doesn't work that way. It's easy to just say, oh, trade him. He stinks. Trade him. He stinks. For what? I don't want to get worse just to get rid of Gleyber Torres. I do not think it's at that point. I think Rizzo could be addition by subtraction. Because we just haven't seen anything from him for a year now. Gleyber Torres was their most consistent hitter outside of Judge last year, who didn't play a lot. He was their best hitter. He had a great year last year. He's a top 4 or 5 second baseman in baseball last year. Like, I don't think it's at the point where the Yankees need to get rid of Gleyber Torres at any cost. I know many Yankee fans are there because he drops a pop-up or he bobbles a ball. He also makes great plays. He's got to be more consistent, and I don't think he's a winning player, and he won't be a Yankee next year. But, you know, trade him for what? They just picked up Michael Tonkin, who had a 5 ERA. He's pitching to under 1. I'll bring in anybody and give him to Matt Blake before I just throw away Gleyber Torres. Jose and Corona, what's up, Jose?
How you doing, Chris?
Good, how are you?
You're right on. Fine, thank you. And listen, you're right on target. Listen, Gleyber Torres has no trade value. It's like you said. No one's going to trade, get prospects for him.
Mm-hmm.
You could get a second baseman. You just saw the Mets bring up Jose Iglesias from AAA.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that had been in the woods. They have Peraza.
I mean, so I understand. That's the thing. I mean, listen, so Gleyber is somewhat expendable. I'm not saying he's not, other than I think he can hit a little bit, and come postseason time, I want as much offense. I'm willing to take the chance that he doesn't drop a pop up. I understand that's a those type of things can't happen in the playoffs. I get that, but at the same time, I need as much offense as I can get, because year after year the Yankees don't score enough runs, and I don't know what Peraza is. I don't know what Peraza is as a hitter to just trade away Gleyber Torres and say, okay, I got Peraza as my second baseman. What if he's terrible? What if he can't hit? What if he can't hit major league pitching?
Absolutely. I think you're right the rest of the season with Gleyber.
I agree.
You could bring Peraza up on September 1st, or there's an injury, whatever. And you know what? What I would do right now with Domingo, I'd bring him in against left-handed pitching. I think Cabrera has to play third against righties. He has more of a pop. I would bring LeMahieu at first or third when you have a lefty.
Yeah, I guess I can't have a strict platoon where LeMahieu plays once a week, because I mean, when you say righty lefty, it's not like every other game. You're talking about 75% of the games being started by Cabrera. Then I can't take DJ LeMahieu off of a week of playing here, 2 weeks of playing here, and designate him as only against left-handed pitching. I can't do that. I'm not ready to do that. Now, you want to say, you know, against the, you know, I mean, so against the right, it depends. Right now, I think for later tonight when they play in Kansas City, I think you're going to see LeMahieu at first base. I think they're going to give Rizzo some time off because he needs it. And I could see them benching Rizzo. But straight platooning Cabrera, he's been good. He got off to a good start this year, and then he slowed off. He hits the home run last night. I like Oswaldo Cabrera, as long as he's playing infield and not outfield. I like Oswaldo Cabrera, and I'm not opposed to playing him more than a typical backup and giving DJ LeMahieu more days than a typical starting third baseman. But I can't just straight platoon him righty-lefty when he's the right-handed element in that platoon. I mean, you can go 2 weeks without seeing a lefty. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not ready to do that yet. I don't think his at-bats look that bad. I know he's hitting to some ground balls, some double plays. He doesn't move well. He's played. He's made nice plays at third base. Defensively, I still trust him. I don't think he hurts him so much, and I want to see if I can get him going because, like I said, I did this whole thing, and we'll get into it again later in the show if we have time. 888-808-1019. I did this whole thing about the idea of DJ LeMahieu possibly being the leadoff hitter because I like Volpe at the 6-7 spot where he can get on base and steal and try and create runs where I don't think he can do that at the top of the order in front of Judge and Soto. Now, if he's going to have an on base, if he's going to get on base 40 games in a row, then yeah, okay, leave Volpe up there, obviously. But I was concerned from the beginning. Like people, I was getting a lot of flack. Oh, you still want DJ hitting the top of the order? You still want DJ? I always prefaced it with if he shows me he can be the player he was at the second half of last year. And then furthermore, I always said, and I don't know if we're going to get it because we've seen him with nagging feet injury. We've seen him with a toe issue. We've seen him struggle for a year with a foot injury. And now he's dealing with a broken foot coming back from a fracture in his foot. I was very pessimistic about what DJ could give you. But if he can revert back to that player, I do think there's an element that makes the lineup a little bit longer with him at the top and Volpe towards the bottom. But right now, Volpe's been too good. It's a non-discussion. And DJ hasn't shown you anything. It's a non-discussion. But I think I've seen enough from him where I'm still willing to see more. Like Rizzo, I'm really concerned. DJ, I'm slightly concerned. I want to see more. He's barely played. And I think some of the at-bats are all right, and he got a couple hits in the game the other night. So I'm not ready to declare him a failure and can't hit and trade him, get rid of him. Like I'm okay with LeMahieu right now. Rizzo is the main problem. Rizzo is the glare. Like if you look at this team and say, what's the glaring problem with this team? First base. First base, by far, is the biggest issue this team has. He can't hit. He's got 3 hits in his last 50 at-bats. And he looks like he's inside his own head. There was that, I guess, was it Friday night or even the Thursday game before that? I don't know. But, like, they had walked. Yeah, it was against the Twins, I think. He had walked, like, 3 straight batters. He comes up, he's swinging at everything. He's all messed up. So he's got to be either fixed or they got to do something at first base. Because it's the one glaring team. For a team with aspirations to win a World Series, it's tough to have a Rizzo in the middle of your lineup. And then if he's not even going to play great defense at first base, there's really, he doesn't do anything for you.